Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa Shirk.
And I'm Bill Goldberg.
And we just returned Monday evening from Cairo. We still had sand in our shoes from the pyramids when we pulled into EMU on Monday night. And we're here to give you a chapel today about our experience. Just to give you an overview, this cross-cultural semester study abroad program had five different courses, one on language, Arabic and Hebrew, one on religion, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and the history. And we studied politics and history, peace building in the region, and looking through the lens of the many different people that we met along the way. So without further explanation from us, we'll turn it over to the students.
Wait, actually, one thing, though. I'm not actually sure if everyone's here. To make sure we didn't lose anybody on this cross-cultural, because traveling with 22 people plus the two of us gets really confusing at times, we gave everybody a number, and except for accidentally almost leaving my daughter twice, it all worked out. So just to make sure everybody's here, Levi, count us off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Welcome, everyone. When talking about how to share our experience with people back home, we were completely and absolutely overwhelmed. We had no idea how to explain the complicated thoughts in our head, do justice to the stories we listened to, or accurately portray all of the wonderful and, yes, sometimes terrible moments in our trip. To make the story short, we decided to create a mock day-in-the-life experience that follows the itinerary of our trip. Our first week, we visited Tel Aviv, Jaffa, Haifa, and Akko.
The best word to describe our first week is overwhelming. In addition to jet lag, we were experiencing the busyness of the cities of Tel Aviv, known as the New York City of Israel. And as we walked through Jaffa Market, we squeezed through narrow streets with vendors on either side of us, calling, "Come, see, necklaces, rings, scarves, and more scarves." We tried our best to listen to and absorb everything that our amazing tour guides were saying about the creation of Israel in 1948, which led to a war in which Israel celebrated their victory while the Arab countries lost and the Palestinians pay the price. We learned that the same day of Israel's independence is the day that the Palestinians call the Nakba, or the catastrophe. Right from the start, we began to understand that the history and the conflict in this region of the world is indeed complicated, with many sides to one story. And this was only scratching the surface. By the end of a long day of tours, our brains were full to overflowing. But by the next day, we were excited to continue to learn and to see new sights.
Next, we arrived at Kibbutz Keturah in the Arava Desert. A kibbutz, in many ways, is like a commune. Everything is shared equally. We studied, went swimming, learned about the desert, and met many kibbutz members.
In September, we spent 2 weeks on Kibbutz Keturah in the Arava Desert. During our time there, we learned about life on a kibbutz, Jewish traditions and customs, the Hebrew language, and sustainability. We were welcomed by Rabbi Sarah and others, and we joined the members of the kibbutz as they held Shabbat services, ate Shabbat dinners, and gathered for Rosh Hashanah celebrations. We also picked dates in the date fields, ate meals in the community dining hall, and explored the surrounding desert. One afternoon, Rabbi Sarah took our group away from the kibbutz and further out into the desert. It was about 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and the sun was beating down on us. We left all signs of civilization behind as we walked through dirt and sand up a rocky mountain. When we got to the top, all we could see was the bright sun shining in our eyes and the brown desert all around us. Rabbi Sarah led us further into the desert until we came upon steep mountains of sand. As the sun was beginning to set, we took off our shoes, felt the sand between our toes, and ran down the sand dunes as fast as we could. It was exhilarating. After this, we went off by ourselves to sit in the sand to take some time to journal and reflect. As I sat there, my senses were overwhelmed. I saw the vastness of the rocky, sandy desert around me. I felt the warmth of the sand on my legs. I heard the wind blowing through my hair. At the sudden sound of Rabbi Sarah blowing the shofar, a Jewish horn, I was alerted to start walking back to join our group. Before we left the desert that night, we cooked pita bread over fires, shared our journal entries, and watched the stars appear.
We will now sing a Jewish song we learned at Kibbutz Keturah. Going into Bethlehem was our first big culture shock. We studied Arabic, lived with host families, studied Arabic, had very interesting lectures, studied Arabic, ate a lot of falafel, fell asleep while studying Arabic, had a lot of fun day trips, made friends with cats, and caught the stomach bug.
Lindsay, quiz me on Arabic.
Okay, I want.
Biddy.
Good. I have.
Oh, shoot, we just learned that one. Silas, do you know?
I think it's IND.
Yeah?
It's IND. IND!
What?
IND King!
Stop saying my name, dude!
Sorry, IND.
I remember just arriving at our host family's house in Bethlehem. Lydia and I walked in the door, and the first thing our mother Rhonda said to us was, "You two are our family now. Make yourself at home. Eat whatever is in the kitchen and whenever you're hungry." They always offered all that they had, and by looking at their belongings and the cars that they drove, we could tell that they obviously were not wealthy. Regardless of that, they supplied us with large water jugs, which I never saw them use for themselves, plentiful meals, usually without meat because meat is expensive. They drove us wherever, whenever, despite their wants and despite their responsibilities.
Like Larissa, when thinking back on Bethlehem, I will always remember our host family. They had a beautiful house on the outskirts of Bethlehem, three very friendly dogs, and a hospitality that will never cease to amaze me. I will always remember our honest conversations with our host sisters about the conflict and just how much it has impacted their lives as three young women ages 16, 18, and 19. They let us in to see a snippet of their lives, made us laugh until we cried, and gave us a new family. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about them, their hopes and dreams as a family, their resilience in the face of the conflict, and deep love for justice.
After our stays in Keturah and Bethlehem, we really started to pick up the pace. Starting in Nazareth, we embarked on a five-day journey spanning 40 miles through the Lower Galilee, the area where Jesus spent the majority of his ministry. At the end of each day, we fell into bed, glad to reach our hostel and rest our blistered feet.
For me, the Jesus Trail lifted the weight of lectures, heartache of occupation, and the emptiness of touristic spirituality in Bethlehem. Returning to nature manifested the Holy Land, from ruined Roman roads to places where Jesus may have been. We heard that one a lot. Although the paths Jesus walked are lost in shifting terrain, I saw God's creation with wonder. Rounding each bend brought beauty and starkness of the land into focus. One view on the third day looked as though we'd entered the Shenandoah Valley. I wonder what I would do if my home were torn between two peoples, two truths, two narratives so closely tied yet diametrically opposed. This land which two peoples love, claim, fight for, and die for. A land flowing with milk and honey, painted in blood, and longing for peace.
So I set out on this trip with the expectation of getting closer to God and to the root of my faith. Being in the Holy Land, this should have been pretty easy, right? Well, not for me. Living in Bethlehem, we are surrounded by many places that claim to be a location where Jesus either visited or was potentially born. Yet, at each such location, there was a huge ornamental church built with candles, incense, and perfumes being sold just next to the holy sites. To me, this felt like a complete distortion of the teachings of the man who was the original inspiration for the church itself. Quite honestly, it left me feeling utterly disgusted and further away from God than I ever had been. To say the least, the Jesus Trail was a wonderful change of scenery and a much-needed break from the commercialization of Christianity. On our last day of the trail, we reached the Sea of Galilee. I remember laying down in the soothing water, closing my eyes, and finally being in complete awe of the unchanged history surrounding me. As I listened to the water lapping on the sand and the birds chirping in the trees, I felt an overwhelming presence surrounding me in the connection that I'd been desperately searching for, not in the human-constructed church, but in God's untouched creation.
This semester, we learned about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam while visiting the lands where Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and other prophets and teachers walked and talked. In all these places, we looked for windows into the spiritual dimension, the divine spark, and searched for the face of God in the people we met and the sites we visited. Many of us felt strangely empty, visiting the official locations where the church said Jesus was born, or where they said he died, like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Some of us looked for God in the sunrise over Jerusalem. We looked for God at the Western Wall, which is the only remaining part of the Second Jewish Temple.
Some of us noticed the paper prayers squeezed between the rocks of the Western Wall. Some of us touched these stones that hold so many prayers. Together we walked on the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, that Jesus walked when the Romans sentenced him to death. Some of us tried to find God amidst the pushing and shoving of the crowds in the old city of Jerusalem. Some of us spent Sunday morning sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus spent his last hours. Some of us felt a chill when we visited a bus station that is the likely place where the Romans crucified Jesus at Golgotha.
Some of us looked for God in the Muslim women selling vegetables in the old city of Jerusalem. Some of us looked for God in the shiny dome of the rock and its arches and mosaic tiles with Islamic script. Some of us looked for the divine spark in the faces of the Israeli soldiers in the old city, or in the Orthodox men rushing to pray at the Western Wall.
Rabbi Sarah led us on a spirituality of the desert experience and reminded us of the many prophets, from Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, who have encountered God in the sounds and visions of the desert. We sat and listened to hear God in the desert wind. Again and again, many of us felt the most connection to God in the desert. A few of us looked for God in the quiet of a sunrise hike in the desert. Our guides taught us to look for the sacred ancient symbol of the seed of life carved and illustrated all over the Holy Land. Today, we wear necklaces of this symbol.
We saw God in the face of an old Bedouin man who served us sage tea. We saw the face of God in each other as we helped each other hike 65 kilometers on the Jesus Trail that traces the countryside and cities where Jesus lived. We felt God in the cool waters of the Sea of Galilee as we washed our own feet after a long day of hiking. We read the stories from the Bible about the places that we visited. Some of us saw the power of God in the graffiti on the separation wall between Israel and the West Bank. And some of us added our own loving graffiti to remind people of God.
We also looked for God in the sunset from the hills outside of Bethlehem at the Tent of Nations. We encountered God in the olive trees at Tent of Nations. And we saw God in the rocks that we moved to a retaining wall on the Tent of Nations farm. Some of us saw the work of God in the bread baking workshop we had in a Jewish settlement and learned how Jewish holidays mark the planting and harvesting seasons.
Some of us saw the face of God in Syrian refugee children in a morning we spent doing yoga and face painting with them. Some of us felt the presence of God in the platform at the end of the Yad Vashem Memorial for the Holocaust in Israel, a window to the resilience of the Jewish people. Some of us encountered the divine in countless cats and dogs needing love. And now that we are home, we look for God in our own hearts to see what we must do in response to all that we have seen and heard.
After the Jesus Trail, we worked at Tent of Nations for 2 weeks, a rustic olive farm run by a Palestinian family. They invite internationals to come to their farm so that they can avoid aggression from nearby settlers.
Tent of Nations holds a very special place in the story of our trip. We spent 2 weeks there harvesting olives, preparing the trees for the coming year, and making ourselves useful however we could. This often meant working long hours of physically demanding labor. Water was a precious and scarce resource, making showering more than once per week impractical. Hard work plus no showers equals smelly college students. One of the more interesting parts of Tent of Nations was their compost toilets, which inspired the following poem. As I sat in the compost toilet, with a cold breeze blowing up my nether reaches, I could not help but wonder how I got here. Oh, how I long for warm sheets and a fantastically hot shower. I reach for the TP, but there's none to be had. Oh, woe is me, I miss my creature comforts and meals without pita bread. I pull up my trousers and turn on my flashlight. Why, oh why, did I have to defecate in the night? Oh. Look at that, the stars are all alight. I suppose this place is all right. Despite being off the grid and having more than a few quirks, Tent of Nations gave us a view of the world we desperately needed. The people there were honest, hardworking, and welcoming. It also gave us the space for self-reflection and, of course, some stargazing.
Next, we had free travel and went to multiple different places, including the Golan Heights, Tel Aviv, Greece, Ashkelon, or on a 200-mile bike ride. Then we regrouped in Jerusalem, a city with rich history important to Christians, Jews, and Muslims.
During our extended stay in Jerusalem, we spent significant time in both the Old City and West Jerusalem. Our focus was to see the common ground for three major monotheistic religions: Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Along the streets, it was not uncommon to see ultra-Orthodox Jews next to women in hijab or a completely Western young person speaking English on the phone. Worlds were colliding, but it provided the perfect environment to learn about a fascinating culture with beautiful traditions.
We were privileged to learn from the experts in the field who challenged us with unique perspectives. During our final day, we focused our time learning the history of the country from a purely Israeli point of view. This experience was an epiphany for me in understanding the validity of the Jewish people in establishing a state and not backing down from what they believe is their right. Whereas we had been seeing the conflict as the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, with Palestine being the oppressed, we were challenged to consider the broader geography of the region and see that perhaps the conflict is more accurately described as the Arab-Israeli conflict, with Israel returning to their homeland and protecting their families.
Next, we went to the Jewish city of Efrat in Judea. Some people say this is a settlement, an illegal settlement in the West Bank on land that should belong to the Palestinians. After being there, we don't even know what to think. Sorry.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Miranda. I'm great, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm great. It's so good to hear your voice. How's Harrisonburg? How's home?
Pretty normal, I guess. It started snowing, though.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, how are you? How's Israel? How's Palestine? How's Jerusalem?
I'll just text you about it. It's, I'm kind of outside in public. I'm not really comfortable talking about it here. I'll just text you about it.
Okay.
During our stay in the Middle East, we felt we had to constantly lower our voices and look over our shoulder when on the phone with loved ones or even just talking to one another. We were scared for our own political safety, but also for the safety of those we stayed with and worked with.
Next, we went to Efrat.
Okay, so as Ben said a couple of minutes ago, a settlement, according to international law, is an illegal community. In this case, a community of Jews living in a territory that was given to the Palestinians in a peace agreement. After almost 3 months of learning about the multitudes of sides of this conflict, many of us were nervous and hesitant about what we were going to encounter with the Jewish settlers, some of whom were hosting us. But after the 3 days spent learning more about Judaism, Jewish traditions, spending time with our families, and learning their perspective of this wild conflict, we left feeling at peace and hopeful, at least as much as we could. Viewing the settlers as people who seek peace and justice with and for their Palestinian neighbors, who have a deep love and longing for the promised land and for each other.
After 89 days in Israel, we went to Jordan, beginning our time in Bedouin camps.
Our time in Wadi Rum was quite the experience. In the desert of Jordan, we found it relaxing and a thriller at the same time. We stayed in tents that became pitch black when closing the door, so dark that you couldn't tell when morning came. We also experienced seeing rocks that the eye could not imagine, moonlight that cast your shadow on the sand. On top of all that, we shared adventurous rides outbacking in jeeps and riding on camels. It was much of a sight to see, and oh, we enjoyed their Bedouin tea.
In Amman, we saw some amazing Roman cities, met Syrian refugees, explored slightly different types of falafel, and spent a lot of time on our bus, and...
Breaking news! Donald Trump has announced his intentions to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Any U.S. citizen in the general area should keep a low profile, as all protests have the potential to turn violent.
When this news broke, it made us think of all the people we met along the way. We wanted to know they were safe. These people were not necessarily affected by these events, but we thought of them when we saw each of these headlines.
Mustafa, bus driver.
Elad, tour guide and friend.
Rabbi Hanan.
Zara, host mother.
15 wounded in Bethlehem today.
Rivka, loving mother.
Alana, host mother.
Maha, resident of Gaza.
Gaza shoots rockets at Israel, Israel to retaliate. Remember when you saw that border?
Amir, farmer in Jenin.
Jerry's and Rudena, host parents.
Daniela, host sister.
Yossi and Shoshana, host parents.
Protests in Jenin, Nablus, and Ramallah escalate. Rubber bullets used. You went to those places, you know their faces.
Allah, tour guide and friend.
Pedros, friend from Bethlehem.
Nadine, host sister.
Natalie, host mother.
The streets you walked in Bethlehem were just tear gas. You should call your mom.
Rhonda, my second mother.
Atala, host father.
Hondo families, hosts in Bethlehem.
Saeed, my Bethlehemite friend.
What are you going to do about it?
Now more than ever, we're struggling to hold these people and tell their stories. Find a balance in our mind between not just one narrative or two, but hundreds. As one of our favorite guides from our trip told us, in every person exists a different world. So come and ask us about their stories. Now more than ever, we need your help to spread curiosity, to seek justice always, and to listen deeply to the other side.
Now Kyle and I are going to sing a song that our tour guide, Elad, taught us in Akko. It talks about the land that this conflict has, you know, occurred in and all the bloodshed that this land has seen. And it's just very important to all of us. The first verse is in Hebrew, the second one is in Arabic, and the third is in English.
Adema veshamayim, kom ha'esh sil ha'mayim, ana magish zot begufi, Belibi benishmati El nar wael maya El ar wael sama Anabachis hara fil jismi Fil ruki u fil nafsi Strong wind, deep water Deep earth, warm fire. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my soul. Hey-ya, 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 hey-ya,
When we first met 3.5 months ago, for the most part, we were all strangers to each other. Now, it's hard to imagine going a day without seeing everyone on the stage. We have come together to form friendships through conversations I never thought I would have with anyone in my life. If you want to hear about these conversations, I'll tell you about them in private. If it wasn't for two amazing people, Bill and Lisa, then our motley crew would not be standing here today. Bill, Lisa, on behalf of the entire group, thank you for everything you have done for us over the past semester. We are so grateful for all of the planning and years of hard work you have put in to this trip. Because of you, our dreams have become a reality. I didn't think I was going to get this emotional. To show that you will always hold a special place in our hearts, we would like to each give you a small piece of the region we have explored, learned from, and grown from. Thank you so much.
On behalf of the 2017 Middle East Cross-Cultural, I'd like to thank you all so much for coming and for hearing the beginning of our stories. Please ask us more about them. At this point, if you have an exam, feel free to head on out. If not, we invite you to stay and watch a slideshow of some of our favorite pictures and experiences. Thank you.